Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and today we have a very, very special guest, one of my childhood heroes, actually. His name is Bernie Parent. You know the name from the Philadelphia Flyers in the 70s, and he has a new book called Bernie Parent Unmasked that he's written with Stan Hockman, with a foreword by Bobby Clark that's just out from Triumph Books, and he's here to talk about it. Hello!
Yay! Good evening! How are you?
I'm fine. I'm really excited to talk to you. You're just, I can remember the both Stanley Cup wins in the 70s, and boy, that was a great time for the Philadelphia.
Oh, that was, you know what, it was incredible. You know, you're talking about being at the right place at the right time, and, 1973, 74, that's when I came back to the Flyers from Toronto. Toronto traded me back to the Flyers, and I knew at the time that I was coming. I was going to be playing goal for a heck of a team, you know, from the ownership all the way down, you know, but it turned out good. That was awesome.
Yeah, you're a national hero. I mean, to me and to a lot, millions of fans. I mean, that's got to have been a feeling that must stay with you even today.
Well, you're very kind. When you look, I tell people, when you look, you look back and you look at those 2 years when we won the championship, and I have to remind myself too once in a while that, you know, the earth that we live on, it means that you're the champion that year. And then let me tell you, there's a lot to be grateful for. What a beautiful feeling.
Right, and I still remember, well, unfortunately, the second time you won the Stanley Cup, my dad had made me stay in my room. I couldn't watch the game, so I had to listen outside the door. So I was like in prison. It was horrible. I still remember the feeling of thinking, oh, I'm not down there. I can't see the game. It was horrible. My dad was somehow mad at me that night. I don't know. I don't even remember why, but the feeling was still there, that feeling, that Gene Hart voice that we're never going to forget. I mean,
it was just, you know, it was awesome. And let me share with you quickly two little stories here about the two Stanley Cups. And, you know, the first one was at home, and which it was fantastic. Winning a championship in front of your own fans is just incredible. But when we got in the dressing room, we must have had like 200 people in there. And, you know, everything got lost, you know, because we had so many people celebrating, you know, the championship, and it was cool. But let me share the second year when we won at Buffalo. You know, we skated around the ice again. We had a small celebration in the dressing room. Then we got on the plane, a charter, to come back home. And for about, think about this, for about a half hour, they had put this, first of all, let me go back, they had put the Stanley Cup in the middle of the aisle, okay?
Right.
And for a half hour on the way home from Buffalo to Philly, the whole plane got quiet. And all we did was look at this beautiful trophy. And it was quiet, and what a wonderful time that was. I was able to experience winning at home and winning on the road, and there are two different things, but they were also two wonderful moments in my life, that's for sure.
What does the Stanley Cup weigh, actually? Do you know?
Oh, it's not that much. It's, it's like, I think it's about 35, 40 pounds.
40
at the
pounds.
Most. Yeah, something
I mean,
like
you're
that.
You're one of the best goaltenders ever. I mean, if not the best. I mean, and I don't know if you would agree with that statement, but, I mean, to me, I don't know anybody better.
Well, you know what? You're so kind. Thank you. And I tell you how my career turned around was when I got traded from the Flyers in 1969, I believe, to Toronto. And, you know, at the time, my career was going in circles. And I ended up in Toronto playing, sharing goaltending duties with Jacques Brown, used to be, when I grew up in Montreal, you know, Tom was my idol all the time. And I would watch him play, and man, you're talking about a goaltender. My Lord, was he ever good. And I asked him, I said, you know, can you teach me? And he said, of course. You know, at the time I was 24. Tom was 42, I think. And I learned so much from him, and that's when my career took off. You know, and at the same time, you know, you have to look back, and you have to be grateful that you know, it takes 20 players to accomplish, you know, some of the individual records, which, by the way, none of them equal the Stanley Cup. But right. But when you look at the, you know, the, like the Vezina and Conn Smythe and stuff like this, you know, they're nice, you know, but they're, it's a shame that they only go to one individual because, let's face it, you win trophies like this as a team, not as one individual.
Now, there's plenty of really beautiful pictures in this book, which is, it's just wonderful. As you're reading the book, you get to see all these pictures, which is really nice. I mean, a lot of biographies you just read, and it's all words, and maybe you have a few pictures, but you have pictures all through this book, so it brings back so many memories, I mean, especially if you lived through that time in the 70s. So, if one thing runs through the book that for me it was your integrity. I mean, you never were out for the money, and you never did it for the money.
No, of course. And I'll come back to this in a second. And you're talking the pictures, and so we're talking about the book. And if you remember 1979, when I got hit in the eye with the hockey stick, and I left the ice. And never came back, you know, because ended my career, and never had a chance to really wave, you know, to the crowd. And last year when I played in the Winter Classic, you know, in Philly,
right?
Only for 5 minutes, but it was very rewarding because I stepped on the ice in front of 45,000 people, and they gave me a chance to. Finally waved the last goodbye, you know, to the people, which is fantastic. And you know, you're talking about the money. In those years, well, let's face it, we made a good living, but it wasn't anything like what they're doing today.
Right, exactly. I don't know what you were making. I didn't know what you were making per game, but it can't be anything close to what they're making today.
No, of course not. But you know, I remember going on the road. And everybody would have to get together after a practice, the same thing at home. Even if you only stayed for half an hour, everybody, we had a certain place to have to go. And all we did when we got together like this, all we did was talk about the championship. And you know, and I learned through those years that you don't always get what you want in life. But you always get what you attract, and that's what we were attracting at the time.
Have you gotten everything? Have you gotten everything you wanted out of life?
Oh, of course. But the beauty about life, you never arrive. You know, so once you reach a purpose, your goal, and you move on to the next one, and then you move on to the next one. So you never arrive, and that's the beauty of living. Your life that way.
Well, reading the story about you giving Fred Shearer the car, I mean, it was obvious that you cared about other people just as much as yourself, and that's a hero to me. I mean, that's somebody that I want to emulate, and that's somebody that the kids of today should emulate. Somebody who gives, somebody who would give of themselves. I mean, we live in a very, I mean, society. You know, we can be very. It's very easy to be selfish in society.
Yeah. You know, when people ask me sometimes, because I'm a happy person, you know, and they ask me the question, how come you're so happy all the time? And I have my issues like everybody else. But my answer to this is always be grateful what you have. And what I mean by this is, you know, we take for granted, be held, grateful for your health, you know, for the air you're breathing, for your family, your grandkids, your kids, your friends, and on, you know, I could share for a full half hour what to be grateful for. And when you're grateful like this, your hat, it gives you a sense of you belong on this earth and good feelings and good things happen to you. And so anyway, going back to Freddie, there's no way we would have won, and I'll give you one example. We would have won the Stanley Cup against Boston without him, because if you remember those years, Bobby Orr was the big star, National Hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Best defenseman. In my mind, the best player ever played the game. And I remember people used to keep the puck away from him. But Orr was a general there, on the ice. And Freddie took the opposite and said, shoot the puck in his arms. Oh, if I make him work and get in front of him, hit him like nobody would hit him. And, at the end of the game, he was tired. And at the end of the series, he was tired. And that's how we won. That was awesome.
Right. And I can't imagine. I mean, tell me the first time you ever stepped on ice in a professional hockey game. Tell me what that feeling was like. Tell me. You must have been terrified.
Well, of course. It was my first game. I was 19 years old. And I had...
Did you have the confidence right away, or does that happen over time?
Well, no, confidence was non-existent at the time. You're 19 years old. You're so excited that I don't think you... they have time to go through this, but I was playing for Boston, and we were playing against Chicago, at Chicago against the Bobby Halls and all those guys, and it was just I always played before that in front. I think the biggest crowd was like 1,200 people, there I was, in gold in front of Chicago, the rink at the time held 21,000 people. So you can imagine performing in front of a big crowd like this. But, that's when I realized that as a hockey player on the ice, you're just like a performer on the stage. You get a good reaction from the crowd. It elevates you to a different level, and you perform better.
Right. Now, I used to go to the Blazers game. Were you a goalie on the Blazers at one point?
Yeah.
You were.
I got hurt at the beginning of the season, but I broke my foot a month later. I came back then. Yeah.
Right. Because I used to go with my dad, and that was a very special time for me, just watching I was just so excited about watching the games. I mean, to go to a hockey game and with your dad and just enjoy them, and as much as he did, as much as I did, there's nothing that replaces that. I mean, you have those memories, and they're always going to be there, and you have your memories of winning those 2 years and being such a great goalie. Was it all because of what Jock Plante taught you? I mean, was he, do you think you had some talent to begin with?
Well, of course, you get in the National Hockey League, you have to have God-given talent. There's no question about it. But that doesn't stop there. You have to cultivate this, You can't just stay on one level. Goaltending is just life in general. Like I explained earlier, if you stop improving, then... they're going to find out your weaknesses and you won't last long. So you got to constantly keep improving. And having said that, you have to be blessed with the right team, the good team, and the Flyers sure were a fantastic team to play goal for.
Absolutely. I mean, wow, an exciting time overall. I mean, to be a fan and to be that excited. I mean, my brother used to sit in front of the TV and scream every time the Flyers scored. I mean, it was just so exciting for him,
you look back today, and the Flyers did a great job as far as the marketing the former players and the teams at the Stanley Cup, because it's almost 40 years. And we're just as popular today as we were when we won the cup. And you figure four different generations went by since then. But the Flyers have done a great job in keeping us in front of the public. And and it goes from generation to generation. And what a beautiful, hunt, because, you know, Philly at the time, was struggling, you know, a lot of ways financially and the whole bit. And winning the two championships, I think helped, revive, you know, the city to a certain point. I guess people never forget that.
I have a question, though. One thing I always wonder about with athletes is how when you lose a game and when you've just had a bad game, when you're going back to the locker room, I mean, how do you temper, how do you stop from being angry? And what do you do when you know that you've made mistakes? And, I mean, how do you deal with that day after day?
Well, you know, the number one rule is you don't want to question yourself as a goalie, for example, in my case. You know, and it's not because you lost the game that that you're worth nothing anymore. You know, you just one of those games. And the best way to improve on a loss like that, even when you win, always, you know, I did a lot of coaching with the young kids, you know, in some hockey schools, and I would always tell them, you know, duplicate what you did during the game, you know, especially the goals against you. Recreate the same situation and then practice it. So then the next time when it happens, you'll know what to do. Your reaction will be quicker and you have better chance to make a save.
So you learned it. You learned as you went. You learned how to lose a game.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, yeah.
Because you see a lot of players now, I see it in baseball a lot. I'm sure it happens in hockey, too, where they just get so angry they can't help themselves. They're throwing things around and, you know, they're losing their temper, and it's easy to do. It's very easy to lose your temper.
Yeah, well, you know, that's sure could, you know, it happens, and frustration sets in. But I can't speak for anybody else. I didn't believe in this. I'm almost like a chameleon. You know, you have to adjust yourself to the situation. Learn from it, and be better next time.
You must have had great parents because you seem very well grounded. And also, reading this book, I sense that you're a very well grounded person. That you kind of knew what to do all the time. I mean, you weren't perfect, obviously. Nobody's perfect, but I mean, you've been sober for what, 31 years now?
Yep, 32.
32 now. What a great accomplishment. And you know, and of course you admit that in the book, that there were times when you had trouble stopping drinking.
Well, of course, you know, it's a problem that
Did you ever feel like you were going to drink yourself to death? Was there ever a point where you felt that might happen?
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that. You know, you don't. It got to a point where you can't control what goes in your body, goes in your system, then it becomes a problem.
Well, what finally got you to stop drinking?
Well, I just didn't like who I became as a person, and you know, I knew there were better ways to enjoy life in general, and that wasn't one of those things. So I and by the way, you know, you can't do it by yourself. You know, you get a lot of help from a lot of people, and that's the you know, you the program I was in that I'm in. You can't publicize or whatever, but that's the only way. That's the only way. You know, I've learned through this program. And it's very simple, a simple way to live, and it's three ways, you know, three words.
What I like about your book is it's very simple and straightforward. There's no, you don't beat around the bush. You just simply tell it like it happened, and you know, we get to see a little behind the scenes. You know what, how hard it was for you. You call it, at one point, you call it hell all day. You say that it was like hell going through a game.
Yeah, sure. We're talking about the game here. My approach to the game was always to do my preparation the night before. You know, spend a couple of hours on how I would play my system and the whole bit. And the day of the game, OCP that, and you heard, you probably read this too, that, you know, would watch the Three Stooges and keep a light mind, you know, a happy mind, because I'm a strong believer that when you carry happiness with you, good things happen. And so if I, by getting myself ready the night before, preparing myself, then once the game got going, then it all came back, and it served me pretty good.
Right. And I know you were, at one point, you liked The Secret by Rhonda Byrne. That was very influential in your life. And a lot of people felt that same way. I did not read the book, but what was it about that book that really got to you?
Well, it made me understand, actually, I realized that that's the way I live my life, you know, since I was a kid. And but I never really understood why and what I was doing until I read that book. And then as I got going, you know, read the whole book, I said, my Lord, I said, it's me, you know, that's, you know, dreaming, you know, dreaming, believing, you know, and pushing, you know, and do you always win? Of course not, you know, but, you know, I, even as a kid, I never, never had an option of quitting. You know, quitting was never an option for me. And, but I, you know what, I lived the book throughout my whole life without realizing what I was doing. And then later on in my life, when, like, I'm repeating myself, but when I read that book, I said, my Lord, I said, now I understood The Secret. And once you understand The Secret, then you could apply anytime in your life, and it's a beautiful thing.
Right. Now, who talked you into writing the book, or was it your decision to write this book?
Yeah, it was.
Why now?
Well, because the old mask we're talking about?
Yes.
The new book, yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, as I mentioned before, I never had a chance to share with and thousands and thousands of people in the Delaware Valley, mostly, you know, when I got hurt in the eye and left the game without waving goodbye to the people. And like I said, when I played the Winter Classic, you know, it gave me a chance. You know, I realized that, hey, why not? And it has so many people, 50,000 people with standing ovation. And then I said, you know what? Let me share with the people what it was like as a young kid all the way up to the Stanley Cup, you know, my careers. And I thought it would be nice for the people to read that.
Right. And it is. It's a terrific book. I mean, I just enjoyed reading it so much. I mean, like I said, it's very succinct. I mean, there's no part you're not going to understand. It's very, very easy to understand. So, you know, nobody's going to say, well, I don't understand what... I mean, I tried to understand when I read the book, what it was like to go through being a goalie and being watched by so many people. And I'm sure the reporters were all over you after the game. Not as much as they are today, I guess. But even then, I guess they were, you know, they wanted to know if you weren't playing well, why you weren't playing well, or, you know, what it felt like to win, all kinds of questions they must have asked you over and over and over again. So I wonder, and I also wonder what it was like when you went home. So say you lost a game, you went home. Did you ever take any anger home with you?
No. You know, first of all, what it was like to play a goal, it was, you know, it's very, very demanding position, because a forward could make a mistake. A defenseman will pick them up. Defenseman makes a mistake, there's a chance the goalie will pick him up. But if you make a mistake, then the red light goes on. So you have to have a system. You have to be very disciplined towards a system. And as far as the crowd is concerned, then once you get into your system and you concentrate on this, all you hear is a big noise out there, but that big noise really makes you going. Now, as far as taking this at home, I didn't take this at home. You know, I just I put a time aside to reflect on what I did and what I didn't do, the mistake I made and stuff like this, and try to make the corrections by myself. But I had the time scheduled for this, and the rest of the time was to enjoy life and my family with and my friends.
Right. Now, you have how many children?
I have three children.
Three. Yeah. Any of them going to be in hockey?
No, it's very, we love, you know, it's very difficult. This is it's like any other sports, you know, you have to, as a kid, you have to have access to the ice 7 days a week, you know, and it's very difficult around here, so.
Now, I want to talk about the blindness. You were blind for a week. Now, is this fully blind or partly blind?
I was completely blind, and I got hit in the eye, then the left eye got had the reaction to the shock. So
was it the scariest time of your life?
Oh, definitely. For 2 weeks, it was completely darkness. You know, it was darkness 24/7. So very, very, very. Those were very, very difficult times.
Now,
you can't see anything. It's difficult. Yep.
Now, were you drinking at the time? When you were blind, were you drinking? You must have been very depressed.
No, yeah. Well, that was in my addiction, but I stayed in the hospital for 2 straight weeks. So I didn't have any alcohol during that time. That's for sure.
I can't imagine what that was like for you. Did you feel like your life was over?
Well, you don't feel your life is over, but it sure it makes you think about how am I going to readjust if it doesn't come back, and what am I going to do? So there's a lot of fear involved, you know, and it's really scary. But that's why when I talked to you today, I talked to you about being grateful in life. That's when I got my vision back, you're talking about being grateful, that's for sure.
I can't imagine. That must have been an amazing, amazing thing. I can't imagine the joy that must have brought you.
Yeah, it was, finally the light came in, and I was able to see again, and it was a beautiful thing. And,
now, this picture...
Go ahead.
I said, this picture of you in the book, if you won the second Stanley Cup, is that Bobby Taylor you're drinking with?
Yeah, the chief, my buddy, you should call him the chief. He's, we were good partners, you know,
it's a beautiful picture.
The chief was a beautiful human being, he helped me in a lot of ways, you know, because I played most of the games, you know. But he was a very good supporter and a good friend, you know, a good backup, and it really worked out well.
Now, how many of the guys that you played with are you still friends with today? Do you know them all? Do you talk to them all? Do you go to lunch with them?
I think we have like 16, 17 players still remaining in the Delaware Valley. So it's beautiful. We play golf, mostly during the summer. We go to different golf tournaments, and you get together with the boys. And like when Fred Sherrill said, we win tonight and we'll walk together forever. And it's true, you know.
Did Fred Sherrill get depressed easily, or was he just quiet?
No, just quiet. Freddie was a master at communicating with the people and
his quotes, those quotes on the blackboard,
and the way it would communicate in ways that you believe in him, and you did exactly what he said. And also, having said that, he gives you the freedom to be yourself too. So it was a good, a good combination.
Do you think there'll ever be anybody as good as you were as a goalie?
You're too kind when you're saying this. Let's put it this way. I'm just happy that my career turned out that way. Very, very grateful, and and we were blessed before, and we're all blessed now with a great goaltenders, and that's what it's at. So you have to look at we're in one phase of the National Hockey League at the time, and now we're in a different phase, and it's a different style, but there's a lot of beauty in that different style. Yeah.
Now, did you ever play with Pelle Lindbergh?
If I what?
Did you ever play with Pelle Lindbergh? He's the one who died tragically in the car crash.
Yeah. No. I was his instructor. But you know what, my friend, I hate to push this, but we're at the hunting camp, and if you have any other questions, quickly, because I will have to move pretty soon. Yeah.
No, that's fine. It's just so wonderful to talk to you. I could talk to you all night because there's just so much, and there's so much, and there's so much. There's so much in the book, and it's just wonderful to be able to talk to you about it. And
yeah, maybe one day we'll get together with Dean, and we'll grab them someplace, and then we'll share a little bit more.
I'm gonna hold you to that. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Bernie Perrant. His book is called Bernie Perrant Unmasked, and you can get it in all your bookstores. It's from Triumph Books. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.